believe. If I could give, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we come before your presence once again in Jesus' name, just to say thank you. Lord, we come humbled and submissive before you, our great and awesome, sovereign, holy and righteous God. We thank you, God, for this another opportunity to gather together in your name, to preach your word. But there won't be no preaching unless you and the person of your Holy Spirit take control. Think with my mind and speak with my mouth. You know what your people need to hear and how they need to hear it. So convict, convince, and convert. You get glory, praise, and honor to yourself. Even now we say yes to your will, your word, and your way. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray with thanksgiving always. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? If I could somehow give a brief yet I know inadequate summary of verse 1 of Isaiah 53, my brief inadequate summary would be the thought, the idea of the passage, this passage, this verse, in regard to the Messiah being rejected. And with that rejection, almost given no credit or embraced about who he is. And verse 1 of Isaiah 53 continues with these words, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? As I understand it, the arm is that by which we execute a purpose. Yeah. Your arm. Yeah. And it's often used as the emblem of power. Yeah. And here in Isaiah 53, It refers to the omnipotence or power of God, which would be exhibited through the Messiah. And the idea is, who has perceived the power evidenced or demonstrated in the work of the Redeemer? To whom is that power manifested or made known to be put forth through him and in connection with the work of God? As I understand it, it's not so much to his power in working miracles as to the omnipotence demonstrated in, here we go, rescuing sinners like you and I from destruction. In the New Testament, the gospel is often referred to as the power of God. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
You'll find that, I believe, in Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 1:18. For it is that by which God displays his power in saving people.
Yeah.
It took some godly power to save me and you.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. You don't have to tell everybody where you were, but where I was, he had to dig deep, using my mouth. Dig real deep with three Holy Ghost shovels. Y'all, I know y'all was just pretty much almost. He had to really dig deep for me, deep down, and get a Holy Ghost pick. Because I was, look, brain damaged. I was so caught up. What'd you do? I did what you did. Sin. But he picked me up out of all that miry clay. Picked me up, rescued me, turned me around, and put my feet on solid ground. I was a dead man. dead. Walking dead. They ain't got nothing new with that show, Walking Dead. Apart from Christ, we're all walking dead men and women. All right, Pastor, get settled down here. He rescued us. Even though the Bible reveals, and you and I know it today in this contemporary world, sin-sick secular world, that comparatively few people submit to the power of God. They resist it. And with that being said, along with that being said, there's so many people that don't want to hear the good news of the gospel. I didn't say that's you or you out there. A lot of people don't want to hear it, or they choose not to believe it, but would rather hear something else from somebody else. But I'm here to let you to know today, just like I let the fellas know yesterday. Loudmouth preacher, Pastor George R. Pointer, gonna preach the word in season, out of season, when you wanna hear, you don't wanna hear, you want me to water it down and can't do it. I'm gonna preach his word because his word is power.
Right.
His word is liberating.
Right.
His word will deliver.
Right.
His word will pick us up.
Right.
His word will rescue us. His word will give us all we need.
Yeah.
Provide, heal. Oh, yes, it will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His word will reveal the liar that Satan is.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I'm talking about whose report shall you believe this morning? Every day we get reports.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I know somebody was deciding whether you were coming to church today. When is it going to rain?
Yeah.
When is it going to rain heavy?
Yeah.
Do I have a window?
Yeah.
Do I have a rain hat? Come on, elder. Do I have an umbrella strong enough to weather the wind?
Yeah.
How am I getting home?
Yeah.
Will I catch with the bus schedule? You know, am I going to be out on the corner all by myself with the rain drenched? Every day we get reports from the news, from our experiences, from our friends and family. Family saying, I don't know, why would you go out to church today? Take it easy. You can come next week. Then next week the enemy say, if you so bamboozled like that, I can throw something your way next week that you won't come next week. You give the enemy something to hit you with, because the longer you stay out of church, the easier it is to stay away from church. Hello, somebody. We also get reports from the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Which more often than not contradicts what other people are saying. And every day we can choose. Isn't that amazing how God gives us choice? He don't make you come to church. He don't make you do the right thing. But if it's like me, he loved hellishness out of me so much that I'm so grateful. I just want to do the best I can do. Even though I fall short. Because the thing I said I wasn't going to do, no more. And I meant it when I said it. The old man somehow still creeping. Man, you ever thought that you was on a good holy day? A holy morning. You just think nothing gonna break that. You gonna keep, praise the Lord. And then somebody stepped on your foot. Somebody didn't do something you liked. And that smile that you had turns to a frown. Wow, scowl. And you didn't say bless your name. You said what you said. And like me, earlier today I had to repent. Today, anybody other than me had to repent of something? I'm glad I ain't by myself. Come on now. Don't let nobody tell you because you're a saint and you're on your way to heaven that you don't mess up. Because the same one is beefing you, they messed up by even themselves with their attitudes. No matter whether what we see, what we feel, or what others are saying, If the word of God declares a promise, whose report will you believe? And understand that each and every choice or decision that we make or you make is based on what you hear and what you choose to believe. And with that being said, you got to understand, if you don't choose right, there's consequences. Hello, somebody. You can just say, well, I'll just cuss them on out. Well, there's consequences. Everybody in the church had, you had to speak on, and they heard you, you know. You say you didn't give a hoot. God said, let's see how your hooting gonna give. All of our choices, all of that which we hear and choose to believe, because you have to choose to believe. You got to make a choice whether or not you're going to believe what I'm telling you about God said today. You got to make a decision. That's why you can have people come to church every Sunday and never change. Because somebody's not believing. Somebody's in one ear and out. They got a whole lot of hearers, but not enough doers. Am I in the book? Be not just a hearer, James, but a what? Doer. Apply what you hear. Do your best. Well, I'm doing my best. Really? Understand, a consequence is the effect, the result, or outcome of a condition or something that occurred earlier. And again, I have to say, many of our troubles occur, listen, I didn't say all, but a lot of them happen because we base our choices on, listen, unreliable authority, culture, you know, what everybody else is doing. A lot of people base their choices on tradition. We've always done like that. Some people base their choices on, well, it seems logical. Some people base their choices on, it just felt right. Am I right about it? But the best choices you make, or the best choices made as a result of what you've heard, are those that are based on believing the truth and knowing the truth of the word of God. You can't have people telling you or trying to tell you what's right if you don't check it out for yourself. Hello, somebody. I can't keep on, and I'll keep on telling you what God says, but somewhere along the way, you have to check it out for yourself. Because there's power in the word. God knows how to connect with you, and you connect with him when you and you and you and you read the word for yourself. I'm talking about whose report shall you believe. I said the report you choose to believe may have negative, life-changing, life-altering effect. Let me see if I can help you out. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the NLT translation. The Lord said in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, the Lord now said to Moses, verse 1, verse 2, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. The land I am giving, don't miss that, to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. Remember also that Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Y'all want to get this because you want to make sure that I'm talking what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21 to 23, NLT says, New Living Translation, look, verse 21, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy, don't miss the word, go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Who is God talking to? Don't be discouraged. God has been promising you so. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Well, what's going around? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Don't be, God is saying to you, afraid. And don't be discouraged. Well, you don't know how I look. Don't be afraid. Or don't be discouraged. Who is God talking to this morning? I know what the White House and the other house and all of them other houses is talking about. But don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be discouraged.
That's right.
Even if what they're doing is fearful.
Yeah.
And discouraging for you. Yeah. Don't. I can't say it enough. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be past the point of discouraged.
Yeah.
Even though it is discouraging. Verse 22 of Deuteronomy 1 says, but you all came to me and said, first, let's send out scouts to explore the land for us. They, the scouts, will advise us on the best route to take and which towns we should enter. And verse 23 says, this seemed like a good idea to me, so I chose 12 scouts, one from each of the tribes. And understand, by sending these 12 men into Canaan on a reconnaissance mission, Moses had obviously sought direction from the Lord and was obeying the divine leading. You got to understand, the Lord went along with sending out the spies, even though he told them they was going to occupy. But there's a reason, y'all. Y'all missing it. I see, I can look at you, you're befuddled. What is it? If God said no, God knows even when I say it, because some of us are guilty even as I speak. God already told you what he's going to do. He already told you he would provide for you. He already told you he would protect you. He already told you no weapon formed against you would prosper. But you living in fear. He already told you that nothing can happen that he doesn't allow to happen. And if he allows it to happen, it's for a reason. Even if you don't agree with the reason, God already told you nothing gets by him. He can see a black hand on a black rock at midnight. Am I making it clear?
Yeah, yeah.
Moses, as a military leader, did what military leaders do. His purpose in sending the 12 spies into Canaan was to gain intel about the land and the people before them. In other words, he asked the spies to gather intel about things like whether the people who lived there were strong or weak, few or many, whether the land was good or bad. That's in Numbers 13. Whether the cities were like camps or strongholds. Whether the land was rich or poor. All this in Numbers 13. Whether there were forests there. Whether trees. What was the landscape? And then finally, according to Numbers chapter 13, verse 20, Moses even asked for some fruit of the land. And they brought it back to him. To check it out. Fruit, land, come on, what's going on? Everything has purpose. Understand, the spies did as Moses asked and came back with a report. They said, we went into the land, Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Then they said, here's the fruit. The question is, listen, y'all, why was it necessary to have spies go into Canaan? Why was it necessary, y'all, even after God says you're going to go and take the land? Why was it necessary to send spies? Anybody interested? Well, again, we remember it was God who asked for spies to be sent. But see, God already knows what he has promised people. There are people that still won't believe his promises.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
There were 12 spies that went into the land, and 10 of them returned with fear in their hearts.
Yeah.
But only 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, encouraged the people to enter the land that God had promised.
Yeah.
I say there's consequences for wrong decision. God told you, you didn't come into the land and come back and come tell them what you can't do. He didn't ask to tell you that. Well, we ain't gonna better. He didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah.
Go check out the land that I've given to you.
Yeah.
All right, go check it out. But in your checking it out, God knows how our human minds are. Rather than assume the best part, we start looking negative at stuff.
That's right.
Rather than looking from a victorious perspective, we looking from a defeat.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at where I can do all things through Christ. We start looking at what I can do. God says, you in and of yourself can't do, but through me.
Yeah, yeah.
We start thinking about our strength.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got a back injury. I ain't asked you what you had. I told you what you can do through me. Well, I only got a certain amount of money. I didn't ask you how much money. I told you to give this amount. If I get it through you, I'll get it to you. Oh, I wish somebody was here. We keep, well, Lord, I only got this money here. God said, but you ain't gave no money to the church. Well, you know it's Christmas. I didn't ask you that. I told you to give this amount. I didn't ask you how much money you had. You ask what God may be holding back on you with some, rather than saying, if God gives this, he'll give me more. They went and they came back 10 with the wrong message. But understand, some people embrace that. They knew what God had said he was going to do. That's why when people keep coming to you and tell you what they ain't going to do, you got to say, yeah, I know what it looks like. But God said, see, people don't want to hear that. Come on, when you start talking about the Lord, said they don't want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you go with this Bible.
Yeah.
What else I'm going to come with? Can't come with my word. I got to have something that's authoritative.
Yeah.
I got to come from somewhere that can back up what this is saying. I didn't say it, but the Lord said it. I'm putting it on him, and God is able.
Yeah.
Is your God able out there?
Yeah.
Is Christmas going to weigh you down? No, my God is able. It says, be careful to obey all the instructions. Moses, I got to get through this. Through me is giving you. That's what God is saying. Don't deviate from it. Then you will be, if you do what Moses tells you to do, and I've told Moses what to tell you to do. If you don't deviate from it, then you're going to be, here we go, successful in everything you do. If you listen to what Pastor Point is saying from my word, not what he's talking about, if you obey my word, then whatever you do in obedience to my word, you'll be successful. But understand, with all that being said, with the 10 other spies, the promise was conditional. If they would behave in a certain way, then God would give them the land. See, y'all missed all that in stuff. I'm going to give you land, but this is conditional. You got to believe me. That's why we understand the devil is the father of lies. He loves to lie. He's a liar. He's got so many people messed up today, this morning, because of his lies. You don't need to go to church. You can go to a little mass and get your 10-minute mass in and still go party. Come on. Just get a little religiosity. Let me get through this. Guess what happened? Because they chose to believe the evil report. People got discouraged. They got downtrodden. And it provoked God's wrath. Numbers chapter 14, y'all write it down, verse 34. It says, that provoked God's wrath, and he condemned the Israelites to wander in the wilderness 1 year for each day that the spies were in the land. So they had to wander for 40 years. Numbers 14:34. It says in verse 34, because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Then you will discover what it is like to have me for an enemy. Y'all ain't listening to God. You're going to understand by disobeying me. That's where your heartache coming. When you disobey what I tell you to do, And remember, after those 40 years, only two people from that generation entered the promised land. Wow. The two leaders who brought the good report, Joshua and Caleb, they were allowed to enter the promised land. You know why sometimes the church can't move forward? You got too many unbelieving doubters. And you holding up the whole train. You holding up everything because you got people in there in a little group. You can't do it. And you absorb and suck it up. God says, when my people who are called by my name, if they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, conditional, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them for their sins, and heal their land. Ah, is anybody hearing God? Those who were allowed to enter the promised land was because they, here we go, trusted in the Lord and believed that with his help, they could overcome every obstacle. They would be able to defeat the giants that the other spies talked about. You know, giants do come, but giants do fall.
That's right. That's right.
Anybody know that?
That's right.
We preached last year, the year before, about how you can take out a giant. Yeah. David knew it.
Yeah.
Giant over 9 foot tall, and who's this boy? So he said, I feel offended. You talking about my God. I come to you in the name that's above every other name, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that my Jesus. Can you say your Jesus out there? Is it? I know it's mine, but is it yours? 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 It's got to be your Jesus, my Jesus. Well, I'm getting ready to close here. I've been cut through all of this stuff. I said every day we get reports. Reports from everywhere. You get bogged down if you listen to those reports. Bogged down. Negative thinking. I told the men, and I'm only going to tell this to you. One thing you want to do, if you want to have to guard your heart, you got to get rid of negative people around you. You got to get rid of them. Look, it's not that you can't tell me that the weather's bad, but don't keep on telling me. The weather's bad. It ain't going to rain till from now to June. And if it does, God still got it. He gonna give me a ship. Come on, somebody. He gonna make a way out of no way if it does rain. Well, this morning, I've come to try to reverse every one of you that's moving in the wrong direction and listening to the wrong message. Y'all hearing what God is saying? I want to tell you that in spite of all that negative reporting that you hear, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, come on, y'all name it, whatever your channel is. Yeah, all they got is bad news. And I listen sometimes so I can keep up to breath with what's going on, but I turn that joke off, man. Even to the point, Lord, can I say that it ain't holy? With the Eagles and Cowboys, I can't watch it. I'm afraid. I'm nervous. I just said I shouldn't be. Well, God wasn't talking about secular like that, but I can't stand that stress. Brother Cook, I can't stand it. Sister Evelyn, I can't take it. My son said, Dad, I'm watching. My wife said, I'm there. I got family. Can I tell her, honey? Family over in Dallas right now. My oldest son is a Dallas fan. He didn't, yeah, Danny, oh my God. Honey, but I got my niece and my other nephew. They're Eagles fans. I got blood family on two sides of the fence. And they went down together. They're in the same car. I hope they come back together. They've been keeping my wife. They had a good time last night eating dinner. Yeah, they got jerseys on. My son looked good in Dallas. And my niece and nephew look good with eagles and fly eagle, you know, all that. But game time, I'm gonna hold them up in prayer. Y'all still blood, don't let them, whether they win or lose. We already from a winning pedigree, spiritually speaking. Because we are in Jesus. And he already won the battle. Am I right about it? Whose report are you going to believe this morning? I said, I'd rather believe the report that God says to me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be, saved. I said, there's a sinner's report. It ain't nothing gonna happen. But then there's a saint's report. The saint's report says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of all of them. The saint's report is, in this world you will have, shall have tribulation. But, thank God for the but, be of good cheer, for I am with you, and I have overcome the world. Somebody needs to give the Lord some praise this morning. I'm asking, whose report will you believe? Anybody gonna believe the Lord's report? Somebody said, I was sinking deep in sin, like I told you in the beginning. So far away from the shore, sinking deep on my way to Christ's grave. But the master, as I was going down, he gave me one last chance. And I was, Lord Jesus, Lord save me, Lord give me another chance, Lord help me. From the waters, he lifted me. Now safe am I. Whose report are you going to believe this morning? I'm going to believe the Lord's report. Give God some praise. As we rest on our feet, whose report?